looks that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Look like it's gonna be a lovely day. Come on,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Forget the worries, throw your problems away. Come on,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Welcome to the Village Celebration Radio Show. I'm Vicki Newton. So glad you are with us. Tonight we have quite a lineup for you. Joining us in the Village is Sabrina Fulton, the mother of Trayvon Martin, and what an exhaustive week it has been for Miss Fulton. The gun that was used to kill her son was sold via auction by the man who carried the gun and used it, George Zimmerman. We're also going to talk about HBCUs and raising funds for historically black colleges and universities. And then we have Dr. Diane Marshall joining us as well. And we are also going to hear from our minister with our Village First tonight, Rhonda Ulrich from St. Louis. So stay with us. We have quite a lineup coming up.
Did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is filled with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say,
everybody, let's celebrate.
Look like it's gonna be
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. Joining us now from Chicago is a young man who has founded a nonprofit to help HBCUs. Demetrius, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thank you for inviting me.
So tell us about the HBCU Campaign Fund.
Yes, the HBCU Campaign Fund is a nonprofit organization that supports the significance and campaign to raising funds to sustaining student scholarships and HBCUs.
So where did you get the idea to start a fund? I know you are a student at an HBCU. How did this come about?
Well, one day I wanted to found something that supports communities and supports the help people in the community, and I said HBCUs. I said I want to help students and students like me and HBCUs, and that's when I thought of HBCU Campaign Fund. I know we have Tom Joyner Foundation, United Negro Fund, and Thurgood Marshall, but I wanted to add another supporter system to support HBCUs because HBCUs are recently being attacked by the government and other entities being erased from the United States
and
education.
How has your campaign been received?
It's been received a lot through social media. A lot. We have a lot of followers on and a lot of support system on social media. We're working to gain some corporate support so we can bring in those dollars so we can give student scholarships in the future and build our foundation for the better.
So since the time you started, can you share with us an approximate idea of the funds you've raised?
We haven't raised too much, but we're still in the process of raising funds and building our foundation to where it should be to support HBCUs and students.
Well, how do we support your fund and all of the students around the country who are attending HBCUs? It's summer break, of course, right now, but school gets underway again in August. And in the meantime, how do we fill those coffers with dollars?
You can fill those coffers with dollars by heading over to our website at www.hbcucampaignfund.org. You can also contact us at support@hbcucampaignfund.org, and you can also send in contributions to our office, and that address is on our website as well.
So, again, it's hbcucampaignfund.org, and you are a 501c3.
Yes, ma'am.
So you are an official nonprofit. Everything is above board and legitimate, and you are a young entrepreneur who saw a void in terms of helping HBCUs.
Yes, ma'am.
So over the summer, do you guys have specific plans for fundraising?
We work on that over the summer. We're working on that now.
And if you would like to volunteer with the fund, how do you do that, Demetrius?
Contact us as well. Our phone number is 773-988-2106. You can also email us at support@hbcucampaignfund.org and volunteer if you would like.
That sounds great. It's a great way to give back to the community, as you're already doing. So the number to call if you'd like to volunteer is 773-988-2106. And you can also call that number if you want more information on donating and supporting the HBCU Campaign Fund, started by none other than Demetrius Johnson. Demetrius, thank you for joining us in the Village.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Honey, did you read this article in the newspaper?
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are glad that you are with us. Joining us now is Sabrina Fulton, the mother of Trayvon Martin. Ms. Fulton, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I know this is a very busy week for you. It's been exhaustive for a number of reasons, but also you are planning a conference. The Circle of Mothers Conference starts tomorrow in Fort Lauderdale. How do you feel about this year's conference?
I'm excited. I mean, each year it just is overwhelming for me. I like to, I have some, of course, the majority of the mothers that come are new moms, and not new mothers due to motherhood, but just new to the circle of mothers. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of mothers about, you know, they come back, they're returning mothers, and that means they've been in the last 2 years because this is my third annual conference. And so I'm really excited about it. They don't know what to expect. They just know that they're going to see other mothers and meet new mothers that are, you know, also victims of senseless gun violence. So I'm looking forward to this weekend.
And so how do you welcome new mothers into this circle that is bound by loss?
What we do is we have a meet and greet. Well, I have a team. My purple team meets them at the airport. So that's the first connection that they have. And we get them from the airport. We bring them to the hotel. There's a welcome team that's, you know, that's there at the hotel to do the registration. They deal with the Circle of Mothers staff the whole entire time. They don't have to deal so much with the hotel staff. And it's just, you know, just seeing other mothers, just meeting new mothers, and just being at the conference and seeing all the purple is just, it's really pretty. And they, you know, it's just a great time. We're going to have a great time. And it's about healing. So, you know, there are some sad periods in there, but for the most part, it's uplifting and inspiring.
And it sounds like from the very beginning, you work to ease the mothers into the conference and what lies ahead for them. Former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is your featured speaker this year. You officially endorsed Mrs. Clinton in January. And what is it in her that you see that led you to support the former First Lady?
Leadership, just her leadership skills and just her ambition to go from the White House as being a First Lady to being the President of the United States. I mean, just to have that capacity of thinking to say, I want to be the President of the United States. I want to run this country. That says a lot for women because we have not had a woman president. And that says a lot to young girls that your dreams can actually come true. And so this is a history-making process right now to just be a part of this, you know. And I just think that with her experience that she has and the things that, you know, her education level, and it's, you know, because by profession she's an attorney, and just to see how strong and powerful she is, that's what, you know, made me want to support her.
She's met with you and other mothers who've lost children to gun violence. Can you tell us what those conversations are like with you, the other mothers, and Mrs. Clinton? Not the specifics, but an overview of your interaction.
Yes, the overview is basically she brought families together of all nationalities, you know, it wasn't just African-American families, and we talked a lot about our tragedy that happened, and what we did was specifically and in detail, we talked about each case, and she made no promises. It wasn't like a fake meeting, like, okay, mm-hmm. I can do this and I can make this change. No, she wasn't like that. She wanted to hear us. She wanted to hear us out. She just wanted to know what did we want to do and how, and she was able to tell us how she could help and what she could bring to the table. And that's what we needed. We did not have anybody that was running for the presidency to actually meet with us, to actually even acknowledge that there was a problem with guns and gun violence in the United States. Nobody would address that issue. Not only do they have a problem with officers, you know, shooting and killing unarmed, you know, individuals, but we also have a problem with black-on-black crime, of course, you know. And so she addresses those issues, and now other people I've noticed, they're trying to address those issues as well. But she was the first one to stick her neck out and say, okay, let me listen. Let me hear what's going on, because it's hard for people to understand when they're not going through the same struggle. So, and so, you know, that was one of the things that she did too.
I'm curious, what have the past 4 years or so been like without your son?
It just feel like it's something missing. It just feel like something missing in my life. I mean, had Trayvon for 17 years. So just to go without him, it just feels like something is missing. It almost feels like I'm missing a limb or just something major is missing in my life. And I know it's him. But I try to keep myself busy. I run the Trayvon Martin Foundation and the Circle of Mothers, and we got an event that's going to come up, I think, in August, which is the Circle of Fathers. We have mentoring. We have mentoring programs. We also have a scholarship program. You know, we're doing things to just bring positivity back to the community so someone can, you know, so we can help other families that are victims of senseless gun violence.
So you have stood in the national spotlight, you and Mr. Martin, for 4 years. You stood in those first weeks after Trayvon's death. You stood through the trial, and you are still standing. Did you ever imagine that his death would serve as a catalyst for a national conversation on criminal justice reform and gun violence?
Absolutely not. No, I could not have imagined it. The answer to that question is no. I could not, you know, I could not imagine it just, you know, just taking off like that. Just one thing leading to another, and it just, you know, everything just kind of fell in its place, and we just did what we had to do.
When did you realize Trayvon's death had reached the point where an entire nation and the world felt this sense of disbelief and outrage?
I think because before we left Florida, we thought that it was just something in Florida, that people were just interested in Florida. And then as they did rallies in Sanford, and we took a trip to New York, and we did some media like early on, and that's when they had the Million Hoodie Rally at Union Park in New York. And we had just left the Reverend Sharpton show, Politics Nation. And he said, well, I think you guys should go by and just thank the people that came out to the rally. And so, you know, we didn't know about a million hoodie rally. And so we had no clue what that was. But when we went out there, I think they recorded 20 or 30,000 people. And it was just so many people. It was just so, you know, it was just an awesome experience to see so much support where we had not seen it before, because we had not, you know, experienced outside of Florida. And so it was just, you know, we was just glad to know that we were not alone and that other people were standing with us.
No, you were not alone. I remember I was on vacation and I could not tear myself away from the TV and just stunned. How did you get through those months after the trial and the acquittal? You mentioned staying busy, but in the quiet moments, what do you do?
I tell people about Proverbs 3:5-6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And that right there tells me that I can only understand so much.
Mm-hmm.
But God has the ultimate understanding, and that I should not lean just on what I know, mm-hmm. you know, and I believe, you know, it's about just trusting in God, and I just trust in him that he will handle the situation. That's why I don't comment so much. I don't have so much to say when somebody does something crazy or says something crazy. I don't have a comment for it because I've given it to God, and I can't take it back and tell God, well, you're not moving fast enough, mm-hmm. so I need to take this back. No, I've given it to God, and people have to see that the peace within me is coming from God.
Well, speaking of crazy things, the sale of the gun, where do you put that?
I put that in one of the crazy things that people do, and I just can't stay focused on that. I have to focus on the foundation and what I'm doing right now to bring positivity back to the community. I just can't get off track and distracted by something that somebody is doing.
Have you ever had a chance to talk with a member of the jury? Because when these outlandish things happen, I think there are many who say, if the jury had done a better job, this would never have happened.
Well, they have to live with the decision that they made. Everybody has to live with the decisions that they have made. And so, no, I have not spoken to anybody from the jury, and I'm not interested in talking to anybody from the jury. And so, you know, they just have to understand, and they probably see now, you know, in hindsight, that that wasn't the right decision, but I'm not interested in speaking to anyone from the jury.
Is there anything you want to say to those who've been supportive of you, your family, and the Trayvon Martin Foundation? And I might point out that one of your supporters was Prince.
Yes, absolutely. He was an anonymous supporter until his death about a week and a half ago. And Reverend Sharpton mentioned, you know, on his show again, Politics Nation, that Prince was a supporter of the foundation and didn't even want us to know, the family to know, that he had given. But they did tell us, and, you know, we were able to, you know, send a message back thanking him for his support. But just to your listeners, I just want to tell them thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you not only from me, but from my family and the entire Trayvon Martin Foundation. Thank you for standing with us. Thank you for signing a petition. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for keeping Trayvon's name relevant and not saying this is just a story and moving on to the next story. You know, and I just, you know, thank people for their continuous prayers.
I hear a spirit in your voice that is strong.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I just did an interview yesterday, and I was like, you know, the reporter was like, how are you smiling? And I'm like, you know, the peace that I have is you know, man didn't give it to me, you know. And so I can live. I can go to sleep, you know, tonight and sleep in my bed, and I don't have to worry about something that I've done or something that I've said, you know. And so I'm just trying to live my life. I'm just trying to do my part, you know, with what the cards I've been given, you know. And so, you know, I can't focus on negative things. I have to focus on the positive and try to move forward. And that's what the Trayvon Martin Foundation is about. It's about bringing awareness, and it's about moving forward.
Well, we thank you for joining us in the Village. Again, the Circle of Mothers Conference will be held this weekend in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Ms. Fulton, thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you with the courage, the strength, and the smile that we hear in your voice.
Thank you so much for having me. Take care.
You're listening to the Village Celebration, and I'm Vicki Newton.
So I take this time to stop a moment and show my gratitude for you. I put my lighter in the air for you. I see what you're doing, yeah, I see what you're going through. Put my lighter in the air, the truth is you're beautiful. Beautiful. Now put your lighter in the air for us. Everybody singing together, sing a new song. Put your lighter in the air for love. It's beautiful.
Your boat is a piece of junk.
Yeah, but they don't make them like this anymore.
Gee, I wonder why.
What?
You know, we could have rented a nice boat or a party barge right here at the park.
Huh? Rent?
Yeah, and your tent is moldy, too.
Moldy? What are you, the boat and tent police?
We could have stayed in one of the park yurts. You know, big, roomy tent already set up right on the lake.
Hmm.
Yeah, DeGray Lake Resort State Park has lots of things for rent.
Instant campsite, eh?
Why not? Or we could have stayed at the park. Park Lodge, enjoyed the restaurant, the heated pool.
Do I do anything right?
Well, yeah, you married my sister.
Now I remember why I let you in my boat.
So the next time we and the girls get together here at DeGray Lake Resort, you let me make the plans?
Plan away.
Well, if we ever get back to shore, I will. Online at DeGray.com.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company, and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. We are joined now by Reverend Rhonda Aldridge. Reverend Aldridge, thank you for taking the time to join us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you? I'm so encouraged by the spirit that we could hear and even feel through Sabrina Fulton. She mentioned Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yes. And the Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 4, 5, and 6, it lets us know that we must trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not into our own understanding. God is the source of our strength. And unless we tap into that strength, it is impossible to do what we've been called to do. And I know she lifted up Proverbs 3, verses 4 and 5, but I also want to shed some light on the Great Commission, and that's verses 16 through 20, and it reads, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" And the reason why I'm lifting up this verse here is because this gives light on the subject of God's saving act through Jesus Christ. And while we are talking about what is happening in our world today and the message that Sabrina Fulton gave just now, it's very important that we understand that we are so quick to jump to Jesus as Christ as our personal Savior and want to reap the benefits of his promises. But we often fail to serve him as Lord of our lives and tap into the Holy Spirit as our power source for our strength when we are facing difficult times in our personal life. And so in this passage, Jesus clearly gives the disciples the authority to go out in their purpose. And in that authority comes action, and he makes it clear to them in the action by stating that, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." And then from there, he gives them that assurance of the strength that we are talking about this evening, that he will be with them all the days to come. And so what I wanted to also discuss with this passage is that God can use those who are faithful to him in his plans to accomplish great things. And I have to ask the question, are we willing to be used by God the way God wants to use us? In our stumbling blocks and in our fears, what is it that is preventing us from being strengthened by God to fulfill his purpose in God's greater scheme of this world?
And so
when God, Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, no. I wanted to ask the question that you raised and that I think Ms. Fulton answered indirectly when we talked about the realization that Trayvon's death was of more interest than they ever anticipated.
Yes. And in drawing into that, it did. It encompassed so much, and it garnered the attention, not just of a small community where this took place at, but the attention of the entire world. Mm-hmm. And so in our understanding of that, we are called as truly one community and one community of faith, mm-hmm. to be able to not just talk about what happened, not just read about what happened, but we've been called to do something. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus commanded the disciples, to do something. There is action in our purpose, mm-hmm. here on earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a story online in the Village Celebration that speaks to your point. Fred Gray, who was the attorney for Rosa Parks, essentially says, what are you doing to move this in a positive direction, this conversation about equality and better treatment of your fellow man? What are you doing? And I think if we were to take that to pop culture, we would quote Janet Jackson, what have you done lately? And that article is in the Village Celebration. And to your point, that we are called as believers to do more than simply talk. Faith without works
is dead. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And not only are we just called to act, we are to understand what our role is in the action. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone is not called to build the church in the sense of the structure of it, mm-hmm. but everyone has its own piece that if we all came together and understood, I truly believe there is strength in numbers, but strength in numbers only matters when you know what piece of it you are putting into the puzzle.
I might point out you're also a chaplain, and so you meet families often in their most difficult moments. And then as time passes, you begin to hear, I would imagine, a smile like we heard in Ms. Fulton's voice. But between the moment of loss and several years, there must be a lot of valleys.
Yes, and I believe more often there are more valleys that seem to occur, mm-hmm. than it does getting to the mountaintop. But people should have permission to grieve, mm-hmm. and they should be able to grieve in the time that is acceptable for them. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we place a time restraint on how long it takes for a person to get over something. I've not experienced what Ms. Fulton has experienced, but what I can say is that I know several people personally who have. Mm-hmm. And between talking with them directly and families who I've had the opportunity to, you know, share with, the time is not based on others, mm-hmm. not even for yourself, because oftentimes we look at ourselves and say, why am I still crying over this? Why am I still grieving about this? But all too often, what we're doing is when we do that, we don't give ourselves the permission to go through the process to get to a place where maybe we may see the mountain, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. as opposed to always feeling like we're in the valley.
And so it is good to have a community where your grief is understood. For example, the Circle of Mothers Conference this weekend that Ms. Fulton is hosting.
Yes, and understood but respected.
Mm-hmm.
Understood but allowed the opportunity to be in a sacred space with many people and have the permission to be vulnerable and smile through the tears if you choose. Mm-hmm. Don't smile at all and cry. I mean, we have to be able to give ourselves the permission to get through this process. And hopefully we'll see at the end that light that we, you know, all want to see. But in the process of seeing the light, there may be dark moments.
I think that's such a good point you make, that you can be respected during your grieving. Understood and respected.
Yes, absolutely. And respected for the betterment of community. You know, I'm a true believer that we are our best in communities that we serve. We emerge from those communities. And the community that we serve also should be there to hold us mm-hmm. in our moments of difficult time, but also let us free when we need to escape.
Mm-hmm. Some great points, Reverend Rhonda Aldridge. What is your final thought for those who are grieving and for those who are looking for peace, which Ms. Fulton seems to have found and will share this weekend at her Circle of Mothers conference?
I want to leave here just giving a final word in regards to that. And back to the passage with the disciples. Mm-hmm. He gave them the strength to go out and accomplish not just some things, but it says to accomplish greater things than he. And God does not neglect us in our moments where we feel as though we are weak. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me.'"
Hmm. That's one of my favorite verses. It's hard to believe that you may be your strongest when you are feeling your weakest. Reverend Rhonda Aldridge,
yes.
Thank you for a word to encourage all of us. We appreciate you joining us in the Village.
And thank you, Vicki Newton, for giving me this opportunity, and have a great evening.
You are more than welcome. You're listening to the Village Celebration. We're back in a moment with words from Dr. Diane Marshall.
It's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim. Relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and UAMS.
Hi, Amanda. How are you?
are you?
Doing really well. How are you settling into your new job?
I like the company and I really like the town. Just having a hard time finding places for my dry cleaning, car repairs, and restaurant. And I really want to support Black-owned businesses.
Have you tried the app created by the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce? It connects you to Black-owned businesses all around the country.
Sounds great.
It is. It helps you locate Black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's exactly what I need. Thanks.
For more information about the U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment.
It was a moment that changed my life.
We looked down from the chopper and saw the whole area was flooded.
At that moment, it really hit me. This is why I joined the Guard.
People had gone up to the rooftops to escape the rising waters.
Talk about intense moments. We had to lower the guys online some 30 feet down.
This is where teamwork and training really paid off.
It took steady nerves and steady hands for the chopper pilots to hover like that.
No question, Guard pilots are the best in the world.
I couldn't believe it. I just saved a life.
What could be better than serving the people of my hometown?
In the National Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. While you work or attend college, in return, you gain skills in which you can build a career and receive benefits that can help you pay for college. Learn more about what it means to be a citizen soldier at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
You're listening to the Village Celebration Radio Show. Let's bring in Dr. Diane Marshall, our village doctor. Dr. Di, how are you?
Good evening, Vicki. I'm wonderful. Doing well.
You had a chance to listen to our interview with Sabrina Fulton, Trayvon Martin's mom. And I think everyone listening is so encouraged and impressed by her strength and the emotional well-being you can hear in her voice. How do you get to that point if you are going through a crisis?
Oh, Vicki, I'm just very impressed. She was so strong. And the good thing is that what it seems to me that she did, I'm sure she had her moments of grief, mm-hmm. but she put her work and her grieving into action and has become an advocate for her child, mm-hmm. Probably unexpectedly, I'm sure. You know, it's mm-hmm. not something that she wanted to do. But now she's taking all of that pent emotion and using it for positive. I couldn't help but, you know, listen to her as she was quoting scripture mm-hmm. about, you know, her faith and how she's not going to let these things that are going on in the media with the guy putting the gun up for sale, you know, distract her from what she needs to do. So she has really drawn upon her faith in God to move forward and to use this as a positive format for gun violence.
It is quite amazing. If you're going through a crisis, help us get from that point of woe is me to watch me work.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things you can do, you know, first of all, I like what your previous caller also said. She talked about, you know, giving yourself a chance to grieve. Don't neglect the grief, because you are going to grieve, but don't just stay in that grief. Grieve a little and then get up and say, well, what can I do next? And if you can't find the strength to do it, you've got your church family. You can seek spiritual guidance. You've got your family physicians or your physician that you could seek help from. And if you need to talk to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, please seek that help. And one of the things that we can do when we know that people have been through grief mm-hmm. is to give them time to do that, but don't let them shut us out. A lot of times we may want to shut people out because we want to be alone. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be bothered. We're tired of answering the same questions mm-hmm. over and over. Mm-hmm. Allow that person space, but then you come right back to them, and you make sure that they are okay, that they're okay, and that you're there to help them get through this process. So there's lots of avenues that, you know, we could help, and we can, you know, pull people up out of grief. But they've got to want to do it.
that's a good reminder, because I feel that sometimes folk move on with their lives not long after a month or two. They move on, but the grief process lasts longer than a month or two.
Oh, yeah. And we can't define grief based upon, you know, months or time or anything. It's going to be an individual thing. And some people are going to be stronger, and some people are going to want to grieve longer. You know, it's the ones that want to grieve longer that really concern me. And those are the ones that need to be surrounded by family and friends and kind of helped or directed to seek help to get over the grief. Well, not so much to get over, but to get through the grieving mm-hmm. process mm-hmm. and find something else that's meaningful that will help to pay tribute to the life of the person or persons that were lost.
Like you say, a reason to go on. Let's shift gears mm-hmm. a little bit and talk about summer safety. We started our conversation last week about staying safe as the temperature rises. And we need reminders, because once again, in the headlines, a child left in a hot car.
Absolutely. Already, Vicki. Already, the summer is just starting. In other words, we're just heating up. So to listeners, please be reminded that it is never, ever okay to leave an infant in a car seat in a car. I don't care if you have left that car running. I don't care if you've left cracks in the windows. It is never okay to leave them in a car. I don't know how many states right now actually have laws against this. I know all the states did not, but, you know, sometimes people think I can run into that grocery store or I can run in the bank and may or may not shut the car off and leave the child. The one incident that has occurred already, a mother just did not know she left her child in the car all day. She went to pick her up at the daycare, and they said, you didn't drop her off. Well, the baby was in the car all day. And even at 80 degrees on the outside in a hot car, it gets much, much hotter, and a child can suffocate in less than 15 minutes.
It's
so just be reminded, it's never okay to leave them strapped in a seat in a car.
That is just absolutely heartbreaking.
Yes, ma'am. It is. It is tragic. And it's preventable.
Dr. Diane Marshall, always good to have you with us. You have great reminders for us, and we look forward to our visit next week.
Absolutely, Vicki. You take care.
Back in a moment. You're listening to the Village Celebration.
Article in the newspaper.
The one about supporting our black-owned businesses?
Yes, that one. It also said Asian Americans keep a dollar in their community 26 days, Hispanics 21, and we, African Americans, only 6 hours?
What can we do to support our businesses?
Well, here's one way. The U.S. Black Chambers of Commerce has an app that helps locate black-owned businesses in dozens of cities.
That's a wonderful idea. Where is my phone?
For more information about the free mobile app, go to usblackchambers.org.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay. This summer, we're gonna play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're gonna play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're gonna visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment this local guy came up to me and said, they call the guard out for this stuff?
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up.
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. I hope you have enjoyed our show. We started with Demetrius Johnson, a young man from Chicago who is the founder of an organization to raise monies for HBCUs. It's called the HBCU Campaign Fund. And to support the organization, or if you'd like to volunteer, the number to call is 773-988-2106, 773-988-2106. And, of course, we are lifting in prayer Sabrina Fulton and all of the other mothers who will join her in Fort Lauderdale, Florida this weekend for the Circle of Mothers Conference. This is the annual conference that Ms. Fulton started several years ago after the killing of her son, 17-year-old Trayvon Martin. This year, Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is the keynote speaker. And so as Sabrina Fulton marshals her strength and her courage to keep her son's name alive, we are reminded in the village that there is work to be done. It is not finished, and many of our leaders are reminding us that it will take all of us, a village indeed, to make sure there is equitable treatment for African Americans in this country. Let's not let the lives of Sabrina Fulton's son and all the mothers who will gather in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, be lost in vain. As we heard from Reverend Rhonda Aldridge, maybe you can't build a church, but you can sign a petition. You can make a call to a congressman, a congresswoman. You can post on social media. You can pray. You can care. Fred Gray, the attorney who represented Rosa Parks all those years ago, said just because there's an African-American man in the White House does not mean America has handled her unfinished business. That is up to you. It's up to me. It's up to all of us in the village. And so tonight, as we wrap up the village celebration, we leave you with one of my favorite songs, Leandria Johnson's Jesus. For there is power in prayer, power in the blood. I'm Vicki Newton. Contents of this broadcast are the exclusive property of the Village Celebration. Any duplication, rebroadcast, or any other use is strictly prohibited, and it is not permitted without the express written consent of the Village Celebration.
Oh,
Jesus.